1 Peter, the second chapter. Christ is the cornerstone of God's saving work and the foundation of our lives. We are God's chosen, holy people who continuously celebrate and declare the mercy of God we experience through Jesus Christ. A reading from 1 Peter. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you, then, who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they are destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you were not, had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our cornerstone, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I'm going to do things a little bit different. We're going to have story time. So we're going to do a little bit of a hybrid children's sermon, big person sermon. All right, we're going to read Yertl. So I want to share today this story, Yertl the Turtle. On the faraway island of Salamisand, Yertl the Turtle was king of the pond. A nice little pond. It was clean. It was neat. The water was warm. There was plenty to eat. The turtles had everything turtles might need, and they were all happy, quite happy indeed. They were, until Yertl, the king of them all, decided the kingdom he ruled was too small. "I'm ruler," said Yertl, "of all that I see, but I don't see enough. That's the trouble with me. With this stone for a throne, I look down on my pond, but I cannot look down on the places beyond. This throne that I sit on is too low down. I ought to be higher," he said with a frown. "If I could sit high, how much greater I'd be. What a king I'd be, ruler of all that I could see." So Yertl the Turtle King lifted his hand, and Yertl the Turtle the King gave a command. He ordered 9 turtles to swim to his stone, and using these turtles he built a new throne. He made each turtle stand on another one's back, and he piled them all up in a 9 turtle stack. Yeah. And then Yertl climbed up. He sat down on the pile. What a wonderful view. What a wonderful view he could see most a mile. "All mine," Yertl cried. "Oh, the things I now rule. I'm king of a cow and I'm king of a mule. I'm king of a horse, and what's more, beyond that, I'm king of a blueberry bush and a cat. I'm Yertl the Turtle. Oh, marvelous me, for I am the ruler of all that I see." And all through that morning, he sat there up high, saying over and over, "A great king am I," until long about noon, he heard a faint sigh. "What's that?" snapped the king, and he looked down the stack, and he saw at the bottom a turtle named Mac. just a part of his throne, and his plain little turtle looked up and he said, "Beg your pardon, King Yertle. I've pains in my back and shoulders and knees. How long must we stand here? Your Majesty, please." "Silence," the king of the turtles barked back. "I'm king and you're only a turtle named Mac. You stay in your place while I sit here and rule. I'm king of a cow and I'm king of a mule. I'm king of a house and a bush and a cat. But that isn't all. I'll do better than that. My throne shall be higher," his royal voice thundered. "So pile up more turtles. I want about 200. "Turtles, more turtles," he bellowed and brayed. And the turtles way down in the pond were afraid. They trembled, they shook, but they came, they obeyed.
Where the pond was brayed.
Oh, listen to the story. Whole families of turtles with uncles and cousins, and all of them stepped on the head of poor Mac. One after another, they climbed up the stack. Then Yertle the turtle was perched up so high, he could see 40 miles from his throne in the sky. "Hooray," shouted Yertle, "I'm king of the trees. I'm king of the birds and I'm king of the bees. I'm king of the butterflies, king of the air. Ah me, what a throne, what a wonderful chair. I'm Yertle the turtle, oh marvelous me, for I am the ruler of all that I see." Then again from below, in that great heavy stack, came a groan from that plain little turtle named Mac. "Your Majesty..."
Is Mac crying?
That's right, yeah, he is. "Your Majesty, please, I don't like to complain, but down here below, we are feeling great pain. I know up on top you are seeing great sights, but down at the bottom we too should have rights. We turtles can't stand on it, our shells will all crack. Besides, we need food, we are starving," groaned Mac. "You hush up your mouth," howled mighty King Yertle. "You've no right to talk to the world's highest turtle. I rule from the clouds over land, over sea. There's nothing, no nothing, that's higher than me." But while he was shouting, he saw with surprise that the moon of the evening was starting to rise up over his head in the darkening skies. "What's that?" snorted Yertle. "Say, what is that thing that dares to be higher than Yertle the king? I shall not allow it. I'll go higher still. I'll build my throne higher. I can and I will. I'll call some more turtles. I'll stack them to heaven. I need about 5,607. But as Yertle the Turtle King lifted his hand and he started to order and give the command, the plain little turtle below in the stack, that plain little turtle whose name was just Mac, decided he'd taken enough, and he had. And that plain little lad had got a little bit mad. And that plain little Mac did a plain little thing. He burped, and his burp shook the throne of the king. And Yertle the turtle, the king of the trees, the king of the air and the birds and the bees, the king of a house and a cow and a mule. Well, that was the end of the turtle king's rule. For Yertle the king of all of Solomon Sand fell off his high throne and fell plunk in the pond. And today that great Yertle, that marvelous he, is king of the mud. That is all he can see.
He's
got mud on his head, doesn't he? And the turtles, of course, all the turtles are free, as turtles and maybe all creatures should be. When I read stories to Noah at night, sometimes the biggest challenge after reading a Dr. Seuss book is not to try to rhyme the next book that I read. And I am nowhere near creative enough to write a rhyming sermon, so if I start off a little wonky, that's why. We like to read books in the house, and this last week, as I was reading this story to Noah, Yertle the Turtle, it stuck out to me. It spoke to me as I was reflecting upon our epistle lesson, the lesson from 1 Peter. And in this text, we have Peter speaking to a Christian community, a community that is in a time of suffrage, of rejection, due to their faith. They were no longer under the right of being able to worship freely because Christianity, believing in Christ, was not allowed. So Peter invites the community to come to Jesus. Jesus, who is the living stone and the chief cornerstone. And to come means, in this text, it means to come near, to visit, to worship. To worship Jesus Christ, whom God has used, who was rejected by the people. To be that precious foundation that bestows God's mercy. Now, in this story, as I thought, to me, Yertle represents the things that cause us suffrage and rejection. We experience this in many different ways. We experience it through various leaderships, through rulers and kings. We experience it through groups of people and organizations. We experience it in these embedded systems that are in our culture that we don't even necessarily see. We also experience it through different societal norms and standards. We are the turtles, Christ's living stones, as Peter tells us in the text, and we are built upon the foundation that is Christ. And at times, we are found under the yertles of this world. And then finally, we have the rock, Jesus. God in the flesh, the stone in our ponds that is our firm foundation, the rock that supports us no matter what life or others demand of us. Jesus is the cornerstone that is always our foundation, the one whom is with us down in the pond and sometimes that muck and mud. As a people, we are called to be living stones. And I can't help but wonder what our lives give life to. What do our lives give life to? Because in this life, we're constantly in the stack between Christ and Yertle, a rock and a hard place. You can laugh. I know I'm not very good at puns, but... We find ourselves between this rock and a hard place. Do our stones give life to the yertles by lifting them up? Is one question we might examine. In other words, do our stones create thrones for oppressive rulers? Do they build barriers that exclude and keep out? Do they create buildings that lock up and imprison? Or are our stones used as weapons, like with Stephen in our Acts narrative, used to harm and endanger and even kill the neighbors that are around us? The other question we ask ourselves, are our stones built upon Christ, that solid foundation? Are they building structures of healing such as hospitals or buildings of education like schools? Do our stones build bridges for reconciliation and connection with various things? Do they create wells for life-giving water or sanctuaries of holy places for refuge and safety? How do our stones give life to the yertles and to the good news of Jesus? And I say "and" because honestly, we do both. Sometimes we don't even know it. And while this may be true, Peter affirms we are Christ's spiritual households, as ourselves and as community, chosen and called as God's own people to be priests, or sharers of the good news. God calls all believers, no matter their vocation or their standing, to share God's mighty acts and service with our neighbors, so that they too might see the marvelous light of Christ. Now, last November, during a VIPS reading day, I shared this book with Brady Elementary, just down the street here, a group of fourth graders. And after I had read them the story, I asked them this simple question first. I wonder what part of the story you liked best. And resounding, almost every child said, because I let them each answer, Yertle crashing down into the mud. And while this is funny, in my favorite part too, I think deep down, these kids knew the feeling of Mac. They might not be able to clearly articulate it, but they know. They know what it means to be Mac and these other turtles that are stacked upon, that are being ruled by Yertle. And what a God moment that was with these children, for them to share this deep thing and to talk and to assure them that they are special. These children long, just as we do, to hear the news of Jesus' firm foundation supporting us. God is not a yertle. God comes down into our ponds to us as a rock, a foundation base that is Christ Jesus. This is the power of the incarnation. Jesus does not rule through oppressive or from above, but to be the cornerstone from which everything is built. And there are always going to be yertles attempting to profit off our backs, but they always fall. Yertles always fall because they are not built upon the foundational stone that is Jesus. God's mission of life and love, always keep moving forward in and through our cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Amen.